Nashville Sports Network. Let's talk racing. This is Chasing Checkers with Chase McKay.
Checkered flag is in the air.
Oh, yeah! Woo!
Racing lives here. Your sports live here.
All right, boys, let's do this.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Wow, he's got a shot. Denny Hamlin is there, and here comes Chastain.
Chastain to the inside.
Ross Chastain
drives down low, slides up high. Is there room?
Oh, the 24
Chastain
wall.
To the lead.
Unbelievable. And the lap traffic is what did it. Now Chastain has to go on the offense.
We've had three last lap passes in the history of the Coke 600. Chastain in front of Byron.
Byron closing the gap even more on the turn two. He's in the wall, though, just trying for everything and running out of racetrack.
Into three and four for the final time. How about it? From the back to the front. Ross Chastain wins the Coca-Cola 600.
And that is how it sounded on NASCAR on Prime, making their debut. Welcome into Chasing Checkers here on 105, 106.3 The Game. On this Wednesday, I am Chase McCabe with you. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday so far. It's race week in America's Music City. The Cracker Barrel 400 is coming your way on Sunday. Obviously, it's a full weekend of racing at the Nashville Super Speedway. You'll have the Rackley Roofing 200 Craftsman Truck Series race Friday night. You'll have the Tennessee Lottery 250 NASCAR Xfinity Series race Saturday night. And then Sunday night, under the lights, the Cracker Barrel 400 NASCAR Cup Series race. And looking forward to being there. Looking forward to it once again. We got a packed show for you today. Ryan Blaney was in studio on my daily show, Chasing Big Joe, earlier today. You'll hear some of that interview with him. Alex Bowman is going to join the show as well. Plus, we'll have my friend Katie Myers from the Nashville Super Speedway joining to tell you about last-minute ticket deals and all of that stuff. But we start with the longest race of the year, as you just heard, the Coca-Cola 600, or maybe it's the World 600. Ross Chastain, the Watermelon Man, is back. Even though William Byron dominated the race, leading 283 of the 400 laps of the race, William Byron would come home second. Ross Chastain would get the win after he crashed in practice. They basically had to rebuild the car, and he ended up getting his first victory of the year after only leading eight laps. This was him with Prime with Marty Snyder.
Did I? Yes. When I left the shop last night, I went over, sat in this car for the first time. It was about 10 o'clock when I left. They worked till 2:30. They were back at 5:30 this morning. Most of them drive 30, 45 minutes home. Little shower, I think. I don't even know if they slept back there at 5:30 to get this thing ready. And that's the dedication it takes from track house. There was people there that had their Saturdays off yesterday, and they came in. And for this jockey Chevy and the McRae family to carry them.
You got his picture.
He was riding with me, Mr. McRae. His family's here with Allie and mom and sister, brother. That's what this weekend's all about, is to think about and remember the ones that sacrificed so much for us. Al Neese, my truck team owner, Marine veteran, so happy to drive for him. Thought we were going to get one on Friday night, but for tonight, Trackhouse, Team Chevy, Busch Light, the Moose, Acceptance Insurance, Wendy's. I got to look. It's been so long, I feel like. The McRae family told me to be a sponge. That was something that their dad told them a lot, and I got to tell you, I didn't feel much like a sponge tonight. I was rattling around out there, but to drive on that final run in the World 600 and pass two cars that had been way better all night. Phil Surgeon wanted me to pit two laps earlier. I went two laps longer just out of a little bit of confusion, and man, that paid off at the end. These Goodyear Eagles held on longer because they were a little bit fresher, and holy cow, we just won the World 600!
And I got to tell you, whether you like Ross Chastain or not, if you're a fan or not, he's easy to cheer for. Because he celebrated. Some idiot fan tried to steal his hat. I don't know what that was about. But, I mean, he celebrated all night, was really into it. And it was so cool to watch. And I had this feeling while watching the race, and I don't know if all of you had this as well, but while watching the race, Byron's dominating. But in my head, I'm like, he's not going to win. It just has that feel
that he's going to dominate the whole thing and either use the car up or somebody else is going to save their stuff and pass him. You know, there's going to be a caution, something. I just had this feeling that something was going to happen. And sure enough, I'd kind of been paying attention to the one, to Ross Chastain, the whole race. And he was creeping up there, looking good. And when he got the run on him and closed the gap, I'm like, this thing's over. I mean, he's going to get Byron. Byron was overcorrecting. He hit the wall a few times, and ultimately Chastain was able to pass him and get the win, his first of the year. So watch out for the watermelon man, because he's won at Nashville before. He's good here. He could certainly be somebody in contention. But I think this team is starting to click at the right time. So Chastain gets the win. Byron is second. Chase Briscoe, nice run for him in third. Great run for AJ Allmendinger in fourth. And how about this? Brad Keselowski told us last week on the show that he thought they'd have a pretty good car. He gets a top five. He'll finish fifth. Chase Elliott, sixth. Michael McDowell, seventh. Christopher Bell, eighth. Ryan Preece, ninth. He also felt really good about this one. And Noah Gragson rounds up the top 10. So guys that needed to have a good run got it at the Coke 600, or the World 600 as it used to be called, at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. So that was really cool to see. Usually we spend the entire first segment breaking down a lot of different things, but like I said, we have a packed show for you today. And Ryan Blaney hung out with us in studio for almost an hour. We're not able to bring that whole thing to you, but you can go to thegamenashville.com and find that conversation under both Chasing Checkers and the Chasing Big Joe show. We'll have it for you. But it was great to sit down with Blaney, the 2023 NASCAR Cup Series champion. He joins us next here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. 1-866-RACE-TIX, or you can go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com. 1025-1063, The Game.
You're listening to Chasing Checkers on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, 1025-1063, The Game, on this Wednesday, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. Get your tickets by going to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or calling 1-866-RACE-TIX for this weekend, Cracker Barrel 400 weekend. Looking forward to that. And one of the drivers you're going to see is Ryan Blaney. He was in studio earlier today on the Chasing Big Joe show and hung out with us. Here's a little bit of what the driver of the number 12 had to say. Nashville has some fond memories for you, I'm sure, because you got to celebrate your championship here. And you had an epic party, from what I have been told.
That was fun, man. Yeah, we did the banquet here that year.
Yeah.
Downtown. And, you know, it's always the only time you ever want to be at the banquet is if you win the championship. Like, other than that, you don't want to be there celebrating somebody else. So that was fun. And I have a bunch of buddies who live in town, so it was cool to have all them out, be able to, you know, party with you. And we ended up at we had our big Team Penske party at, I think it was Miranda Lambert's place. I think. What's her bar's name?
Oh, what is the name of it?
It's a great bar. God dang it.
We just call it Miranda's. Basically.
Yeah, Miranda's place. Yeah. Not her home, but yeah, it was her bar. So yeah, that was a blast. I had held Duggar, your neighbor. He got up there and sung a couple songs for us that night.
My man.
And he tried to get me on stage, but I don't know if I could tell what the microphone was. That's how far gone I was. But I love coming to Nashville. The racetrack's great. Obviously, the town is awesome, and I love coming.
So I was at the banquet part, and I'll never forget, because I was like, you know, I'm going to probably take off. And one of my good friends works for one of your sponsors, Hunt Brothers Pizza, mm-hmm. and was like, no, hang out. Flo Rida's playing. It'll be fun. I'm like, okay, cool. So I start going in, and I look, and I see you, and I think at the time was your fiance, now wife, Dale Jr., Amy, Duggar, his wife, all leave it. I'm like, where are they going? Yeah. And then I get a text from Duggar like an hour later of like, yeah, Blaney's having a party.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think we couldn't wait to get out of there. Get over to where the party was happening, finally let loose and take the tux off and really let it go.
Was it that night where it kind of hit you that, hey, I'm a champion now? Or did it actually happen in Phoenix?
I think it actually happened once I finally got home from Phoenix. So, you know, you win the championship Sunday night, you stay in Phoenix, and then they ship you to New York for like 2 days.
Yeah.
So my wife and I went to New York, did all the whole media scrum. And then when I got back home, like that Wednesday or Tuesday night, I finally got to like decompress and we were finally home. That's when it kind of hit me. Like once it finally just settled down because it was just wide open, you know, right. through New York and stuff like that. So, and then it kind of relaxes a lot. And then you have the banquet, you know, 3 weeks later after Thanksgiving. And then it kind of ramps up again. You know, you get to remember everything and celebrate with all your guys again. So it kind of goes in waves, honestly.
Was your first win Pocono?
My first cup win was Pocono in 2017.
All right. Yeah. So I question off
with
of
the
that.
Wood Brothers, right?
Yeah, with the Wood Brothers. Yeah. Yep.
Did you know what to do, where to go, and Winner's Circle? I mean, how would all the cup, because you've never been there before in the NASCAR, the cup race.
You know where Winner's Circle is. Yeah, for sure. You walk by it. You know where it is at every track. Sometimes it gets hard to find in the car.
Right.
Like, it's different walking to like driver intros or walking through the garage, like, oh, there's Victory Lane and stuff. But then if you get fortunate enough to win the race and you're in your car and you're trying to find it, that can be pretty tough. But they usually do a pretty good job of navigating you. Like NASCAR officials would be like, you know, go this way, that way,
right.
and stuff.
Do they get mad if you spin out?
No, they love it. They love doing burnouts and stuff. Yeah, okay. They love it when you do that. Just not around people. Like if you do it on the track, right. that's fine, right. but don't do it like on pit road.
All right. Chase is a smart guy. I'm the guy that's on the outside looking in. Can that hurt your car? Like, if you go for the post race and like, hey, you know, you did the spin out, we found this or that.
Yeah,
not saying anything's bad.
It can. I say I don't do like the big smoky burnouts often because it can tear some stuff up.
Right.
But on occasion I'll do it, and I do it at a low frequency, like RPM. Right. If you're ripping like 10,000 RPM, you're probably gonna blow it up, yeah. blow the motor up. So I try to keep it mid-level to where it's not really hurting anything, but you're getting some smoke.
Oh, okay. Now, yeah. Chase hates this question, but I always ask all the drivers, when you're in traffic around town,
yeah,
does it drive you insane like it does me?
It does.
So what do you do?
We got that in common. Nothing.
I know you don't just sit there, right? You try to find alternate routes?
No, I sit there.
Oh, no.
Charlotte's probably just as bad as Nashville. Wow.
I'd say it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try to do a good job of... Even if I know where I'm going, I got to go on the highway. I try to like Google Maps it just to see if there's like an accident. But if I don't do it and there's an accident, I just sit there and just eat it. You know, there's nothing you can do about it.
I remember asking Daryl Waltrip one time. He's like, I will not slow down. I'll go.
Really?
Take me 30 minutes. If I make a mile in 30 minutes, I got to be moving.
Right.
I'm like, I get that.
Yeah,
that's Daryl though. I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
Oh man. So in relation to Team Penske's shop, like how long does it take you to get there when you have to go to the shop?
I'm about 25 minutes away.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not too far, nice. Yeah.
Now I think Joseph Newgarden lives.
Newgarden's in
back
Nashville.
Here. Yeah, yeah, he's back here.
So. Yeah, so he'll fly. You know, he'll fly into the race shop. You know, whether it's Mondays or Tuesdays, whenever he comes in. So. You know, he's and usually he spends a day, like he'll fly in Tuesday mornings and go home Tuesday nights.
We like to remind him when we ask him to do something, hey, we talked to you when you were nobody. Just remember that.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Indy 500
I know.
Twice champion.
I know, so. Two times, man. Back to back is what he is.
Did he ever get that tattoo?
No, man. That was a fake. It was a fake tattoo. So Joseph Newgarden is an IndyCar driver. He drives for Team Penske. He lives here in Nashville. He's from Nashville. And two-time Indy 500 winner, and he sent me a text, like, it was like the weekend of the championship race. And he's like, if you win the championship, I'm getting a tattoo of you on my leg. I was like, all right, here we go. So the first guy I text after I got back to my bus after we won the championship was Joseph. And I was like, let's find a picture of what I want on your leg. And he showed up at our after party after the banquet with a fake tattoo on his leg. But like someone like... did a really nice job. It looked real.
Yeah.
But I could tell it was fake. And he was like, yeah, it's a fake one. I really couldn't do that. I was like, man, I'd have done this. I would have went through with the bet. He didn't go through with it.
Oh, you totally
done it.
Would have.
I would have done it.
All the work to do that and just go ahead and get it done.
If you're already going to sit there for 3 hours to get it stenciled on you, might as well just do the whole thing.
Right. Ryan Blaney studio with this. I remember one time asking a basketball coach about his great victories. He said, I can't tell you the great victories, but I can tell you every tough loss.
Yeah.
What's the toughest loss you've had in NASCAR?
The 2020 Daytona 500, I'd say, is tough.
Yeah,
that was the one with Newman and I got together. So we were coming down to the end of this race, Daytona 500, our biggest race of the year, and I'm second, coming towards the lead, coming off turn four, and kind of don't make the best move, probably not the right one, and end up not winning the race, and that one haunts me to this day. And it's so easy to like Monday quarterback the thing. It's like, right. Well, gosh, just do this, right? And I try not to be that way because it'll drive you insane.
Is that the one McDowell won?
No, that's the one Hamlin ended up winning.
Oh, Denny,
yeah.
His third one,
so
yeah.
What did you go back? What should you have done that you didn't do?
Yeah, just make a different move at the end of the race. Like, choose a different option, like a different lane, you know.
But that's like, I mean.
Yeah, split second right? decision. Yeah. That's why I try not to like go crazy thinking about that stuff. I try to learn from it right away, like spend half an hour on it, figure out, okay, if you're in this spot again, you know, think about this, do this, and then just move on from it. Because if I go to sleep thinking about it, I'm never going to stop thinking about it.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I have to be over it that night, and then I can wake up the next day like it's a new week, and let's just move on from it.
Do you feel like you would have won that had you done something a little different?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and gosh, there's tons of races that drivers or players in any sport right. event, like if I would have just done this different, we would have won that game or won that race, and all you can do is learn from next time, and hopefully you make the right choice, I guess, yeah.
We're talking to Ryan Blaney. He's in studio with us. So when you kind of think about, and I mean, you're 31, so you got a while, obviously, but is the 500 kind of the next big thing to check off?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd obviously like to win a 500. I've been close there a few times. I legitimately think, like, you look at, I had probably three good shots to win the 500 so far, and they just didn't really work out. Honestly, like the next one that I really want to win, even more than the 500 right now, is I want to win Indy, like cool. The Brickyard when we go there here later this year. You know, driving for Roger Penske, him owning the place, all the history behind that place. That's like top of my list. To be able to share that with him would be really special.
Okay, well, that leads me right into Larson just tried the double for the second year in a row. I mean, is that a goal of yours? Or, you know, I feel like everybody thinks every race car driver wants to do that, but then some of them are like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
But is it something you've thought about?
If the opportunity presented itself, I'd do it.
So if Roger came to you and said, Ryan, we want to put you in another car.
Yeah, I'd say yeah. I'd say yes for sure. And, hey, it was fun watching Larson, you know, prepare for that. It's a busy time, you know, especially trying to pull off both of them. Just doing the Indy 500 is busy. The whole month of May is – you're up there and you're testing and you're getting ready for that. And then he's also got to pay attention to the NASCAR side of it too, with the 600. And you're just praying that it all works out with weather and things like that. In the first year, the weather, you know, crushed him. And then this year, it, you know, didn't really go well for him either race. And, but yeah, it's something that I'd like to do. I think just doing that feat and being able to run all 1100 miles would be a pretty cool accomplishment.
So I've always asked, you know, especially after Joseph won the first one, I was like, all right, because I had asked him about it before, and he said, you know, Mr. Penske and I kind of have a deal of we're focused on winning the Indy 500, and then we'll talk about other stuff. Mm-hmm. I've always thought he could probably hang in NASCAR.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it would need to test and stuff, but I feel like he could hold his own. Because you don't really see it come back the other way. It's always a NASCAR driver going and running the Indy 500. You don't really see them trying to do it the other way.
Yeah.
Do you think him or somebody else could pull that off?
I think he could. I think Scott McLaughlin could, another Penske guy. It's funny. Me, Joseph, and Scott have talked. How cool would it be to do two doubles? Like me do the double, and then one of them also do the double with IndyCar and NASCAR.
That would be really cool.
Flop. You flip-flop and you do both of them. I think that'd be a cool story. No one's ever done that. And like you said, you haven't really seen many, if any, like full-time IndyCar guys do.
I mean, Mario did it, AJ Foyt did it. But
yeah,
I mean,
it's no one recent.
Right.
You know, so yeah, you never know. That'd be pretty cool. It's kind of getting to that point. It's just the scheduling stuff is hard to work out, you know, and
does this next-gen car or Gen 7 car make it a little harder? Because, I mean, you guys have had to learn this thing, you know, the last few years.
Yeah, it definitely makes it tough, I think. I mean, these cars are hard to drive, and they can kind of jump out and get you pretty quick. But I think what those guys have going for them is you don't know what you don't know, right? I mean, like, so it's just a learning curve no matter what car it is. It'd be the same as a cup guy going to run an Indy cars, like you don't know what they feel like. So it's a brand new learning experience. So, but they are hard to control. I mean, just anything, any professional sport is tough to kind of get your arms wrapped around.
Have you, when's the last time you parked your car and went to whip somebody's ass?
Oh gosh, it's been a while.
Has it?
It's been a while. No one's made me that mad in a while.
What's the maddest you've been?
The maddest I've been.
You were pretty hot when you hit that wall here a few years ago, which we were all like, what in the world? How did that happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wasn't mad at a certain person, though,
right.
for that one.
Yeah, that
I was
just
mad
a
more
weird
at the racetrack.
That was a weird situation.
For having a concrete wall where there shouldn't have been one. I'd say I was pretty ticked off. I got wrecked at Daytona in 2023. Someone caused kind of a dumb wreck, and I ended up getting the worst thing that could happen in our sport is, especially at like a Daytona racetrack where you're going 200, is getting hooked in the right rear and like head on into the fence going a buck 80. That was probably the maddest I've been at somebody like causing that wreck and me getting my wind absolutely knocked out of me and headache for a few days after that. So that was, it's been a couple years since I didn't want to throw fists, but I was pretty
fired
up. Did
you go after the guy? I mean, did you find out who it was?
I waited. So I was out of the race. I was out like halfway through the race, and I waited around the race to like go right to pit road right after he got out of his car and kind of voice my frustration. And
okay, you can name
so that was
names.
Last time.
Who was that?
It was Christopher Bell. Like that was he kind of okay, caused that wreck. And so I was. I mean, it takes a lot for me to get to want to like fight somebody.
Yeah.
But
now are you told not to do that? Like, hey, the image, cause I'd be throwing hands all the time.
Yeah. It's not encouraged. I don't think my bosses would like that very much. And all the sponsors on our car would like me, throwing hands on pit road. So I try to stay away from that.
I will say like, you know, you're kind of in this category, but I feel like Christopher, if he makes a mistake, he's going to be like, hey, I'm,
yeah.
You know, and you're that way,
yeah,
too.
And like, that's how we talk it out. Like, a lot of times it can be settled just, hey, this is why I'm upset, and I can be ticked at you, but, you know, and when they acknowledge that they made a mistake, then, okay, we're fine.
Fine. See, and then there's some drivers that will complain, but then if they make a mistake, they won't do it. You know, they won't say it. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You screwed up. Like,
you gotta be transparent, man.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So what's the oddest place you've ever been recognized?
Oh, this is a great one. I was I love going to Ireland. Sweet. Used to go there a lot before I, you know, was married and stuff. And so I was walking down, I was with a couple buddies, we were walking down the street in Dublin, and guy was wearing a 12 hat.
No.
In Dublin, Ireland.
That's
and
great.
I was like, holy crap, man. Like, that's so cool. And I kind of waved to him and talked to him. And he was like, oh, my God, we're huge fans. It was cool. I was like, you never know who watches around the world. Like, that part's always super neat to me.
Oh, that's very cool. Of all the places.
Yeah, of all the places. And the time that we're just walking down the road passing each other, I was like, what are the odds of this? And that guy decided to wear that hat that day.
And there it is.
Pretty neat.
I told Chase you have the greatest birthday.
New Year's Eve.
It's the best.
Yeah. Don't ever have to plan anything.
Right. And you got fireworks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the perfect night for
you. Yeah, it's a great one. It's I'll tell you, the 21st birthday on New Year's Eve was pretty fun.
That's always a
good one.
Where were we?
I was at Dale Jr. used to own a bar in Charlotte called Whiskey River.
Yep.
And so I was out there for my birthday for that one. So that was a fun night. What I can remember, it was a good time.
Did Dave throw down too for the 21st?
My
birthday?
Dad?
Yeah.
No, my dad was not there. So it's actually my parents' anniversary as well as New Year's Eve.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. So it's always fun. We usually do dinner like with my parents and me, and then I kind of go off and do my thing. But no, dad stayed home that night and took mom out to dinner.
Lost fireworks like on December 31st.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's cool. I know a lot of people that have gotten married on the 31st. Like Dale Jr. and his wife is the 31st. One of my good friends, another racer, Bubba Wallace, he and his wife is the 31st.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of neat.
Is that a tax break?
I don't know what it is, man. I really don't know. But I'm like, it was like a group of years that it was like 3 or 4 years in a row where my buddies were getting married on New Year's Eve. I was like, man, it's my birthday. I got to go to your wedding on my birthday. Right. Like, but it was good. It was a great celebration. So it was fun.
Nice.
It's funny. Growing up watching NASCAR, your dad was always one of my favorites because like he never caused trouble. He was very mild-mannered. It's kind of like you know, mild-mannered. Dave Blaney, man. You remember watching Dave Blaney back in the day, right, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I thought the two were going to have on the show today.
I know.
And he's like, we got Ryan. I'm like, come on.
I hate you got stuck with me. Yeah. My dad, I said, Dad, yeah, you're going on the game today, right? He was like, no, you can do that for me. I don't want to do that.
So, Chase, you got in town today.
Yeah.
So, is it balls to the wall for the next 4 days, 5 days? I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, so today I'm doing a bunch of this stuff today, kind of, you know, pre-weekend race promotion type stuff. And then next couple of days, I kind of have a little bit of, like tomorrow, I have a little bit of downtime. I'm going to go golfing a little bit tomorrow, which would be nice. And then Friday, I got just kind of pre-meeting stuff for the weekend. So today is kind of my busy day of doing a lot of media and things like that.
Yeah, we have to twist you drivers' arms to come to Nashville early. It's crazy.
It's right. Crazy, I know.
Can I ask a question that now, again, Chase is the expert. I'm the guy on the outside. How do you scout Nashville Super Speedway track? Do you have a simulator? Do you watch tape? How do you do this?
Yeah, so it's kind of all the above, what you said. We have these simulators. They're like big full-motion, full-body race cars. Each manufacturer has them, so Ford, Chevy, Toyota have one. They scan all these racetracks. They go out there with this big machine and scan them, and it scans every little bump and crevice on the racetrack to try to get that as accurate as they can. So a lot of guys do that to prepare. People don't really ever realize this, but like we watch film, you know, just like other sports teams, they'll watch film of previous races, kind of just how it played out. A lot of meetings with me and kind of my engineers and crew chiefs on, hey, how did the race last year work? How were we set up wise? What did we change going back to be better? So there's a lot of that prep work. So it's a lot of preparation, a lot more than people realize is like, you know, so Mondays we'll go in and we'll kind of debrief the previous weekend. And then that afternoon we turn to what's up next. And then you spend a couple of days kind of just talking over, here's our plan. Here's our race strategy. Here's our practice plan. And here's how we're going to kind of set the car up.
Does your spotter need to know other drivers' antics or not antics or they're what they're going to do, what they're not going to do, what they've been doing?
I'd say that the drivers know that more than the spotters. Like the spotters will know a little bit of kind of what other drivers' tendencies are, but like, right, we race the same guys every week. So as you run around these guys more and more, like I know what this guy's tendencies are. I know what he's really good at, and I know what he maybe isn't so good at. And I know how he kind of races, so I can kind of be prepared for whatever. Like, hey, if this guy likes driving in the corner super deep, you know, so I can be ready for that if we're racing side by side. So as a driver, you pick up on all those things, and that's what you factor in as you're kind of racing certain guys at any given point.
That's a lot.
Now, has Joey given you some advice on how to save fuel here? Because, I mean, I thought that dude was going to run out like 20 laps before he did with all the restarts.
He was running a hybrid, I think, that weekend.
Something.
He was making gas. But
I mean, it was so I'm the track announcer, so I'm up in the booth watching and everything, and my partner and I are like, there's no way the 22 has enough gas because he had pitted before a lot of you guys. But I guess it was just the caution laps and all the restarts.
Yeah, caution laps and that's a skill, like saving gas. Like, right. You know, and it's you can save gas under green, you know, without losing a ton of time. And we know all this stuff. Like when you make your last pit stop, if it's like kind of right on the edge of the fuel window, it's like, hey, you need to save us 3, 4, or 5 laps of gas, you know, and they roughly have an idea. As a driver, you're like, okay, you're doing your best you can to keep pace, but also think you're saving enough. And they'll give us updates. Our engineers will give us updates of, hey, I need a little more, or that's good, or you can actually run a little bit harder. It's a big skill that he really has. He saves a lot of gas and is really efficient with it. And it obviously played into him winning that race last year.
Is it different with this car as it was to the old car?
No, I'd say it's pretty similar. Yeah, the fuel save stuff. Yeah. So, but it varies track to track, right? Like it's harder to save gas at like a short track, like a Martinsville, than you would at like a big momentum place. So it just varies of what mileage you get and how you kind of attack that one.
Coming up next, we'll talk to another driver, Alex Bowman, the driver of the number 48 for Hendrick Motorsports. He joins us next here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
This is Chasing Checkers. Your sports live here on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Back here on Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. This weekend, Cracker Barrel 400. One of the drivers you will see, of course, is the driver of the number 48, Ally Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports. Alex Bowman is on the line with us. Alex, how's it going?
Doing well, thanks. I'm excited to get to Nashville. It's been a rough place on us for the last couple of years, but excited to turn that around hopefully this weekend and put on a good show. I think Sunday night it should be a pretty good race for us.
I always make the same joke with you guys. I feel like we have to twist your arm to get you to come to Nashville because you all seem to show up early to come to our city. So it seems like it's a popular place for you.
Yeah, for sure. I think we all kind of know how much fun that place is. So yeah, excited to get there. I'm not going out early this trip, but definitely have in the past. So yeah, just excited to get on track and get going. Like I said, it's been a tough place for us in the past, but you know, hopefully we're kind of pointed in the right direction. We've worked really hard at being super fast when we get there. So excited to see how Saturday goes.
You find yourself in the top 10 in points. Hendrick Motorsports, I think, has had a pretty good start to the season. Obviously, you know, with Kyle and William up towards the top, Chase has had good runs. You've had good runs. So do you feel like you're close with the speed to finding victory lane?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've definitely been close this year. You know, we were a couple laps away from winning Homestead. And, you know, we've had a lot of really fast race cars. I feel like our fastest race cars have all been on weeks that we haven't finished the races, unfortunately, for, you know, a pretty big variety of different reasons at this point. But yeah, we're continuing to plug away at it. And yeah, I feel like we're right there. You know, the stat sheet probably makes us look worse than we've really been. I think we've done a lot of really good things this year that just haven't shown up on the results side for whatever reason. So we just got to keep working at it. But yeah, I mean, I think we're in a pretty good spot.
Alex Bowman is with us, and you know, you kind of mentioned that. Obviously, I know last weekend was disappointing for you, but what were some things that you were able to take away that you can use the rest of the year on some of these mile and a halves?
Yeah, I think our mile and a half stuff has been our strongest, probably our strongest area, you know, and I think Charlotte, it was unfortunate. We went there with really high expectations, and you know, obviously it didn't work out for us. We were just really loose on Saturday, and Sunday we tried to make some changes and kind of probably stepped the wrong direction on a couple things. And I crashed really late around the corner. That was super odd. I feel like normally when you spin one out, it happens in the center of the corner, and I was all the way off the corner, like driving straight, and I hit a bump the wrong way and it spun right out. So that was a bummer, but I think, you know, just more notes in our notebook, probably on the what not to do side of things for those rough places. But, yeah, our mile and a half stuff's been really good.
What is it about, the Nashville Super Speedway that makes this such a fun place? Is it the concrete? Is it that it's not quite a mile and a half, it's closer to a mile and a quarter? What is it that makes it fun?
I think the city attached to it. I'd say on track, I've struggled to have much fun there yet, but hopefully we can change that this trip. But yeah, it's a tough place to get around. It's obviously, you know, being concrete, we race some concrete tracks, but none that are anything like Nashville. So yeah, it's kind of shaped like a mile and a half track, but a little tighter corners. The exit of turn four has gotten really rough, so getting over that bump's gotten pretty tricky. It's just a really unique place that we don't really have. You know, we can't be like, oh, we were good at Charlotte, or oh, we were good at Kansas, we're gonna take that there, because it's like an intermediate style racetrack. Like, it's so different. So yeah, tricky to get around, and hopefully we'll figure it out this go.
I've had a few drivers tell me that, you know, it's not a short track, obviously, but you use some brakes because, like you're just saying, it's a tricky place to get around. I mean, the first time that I got to get that perspective being on the track, that first turn, like, you're on the wall quick. So do you feel like you use a little more brake than maybe you would at some of these other intermediates?
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, most of the intermediates we've kind of gotten to the point where you don't use any brake. And Nashville is definitely a place where you use some. So we actually had brake issues in the race last year, which is probably part of part of why our day was so bad. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, using brake at an intermediate style racetrack like that is definitely different. But the corners are just so much tighter and slower than a normal intermediate, but the straightaways are still probably similar length, I would say. So it's that's definitely part of what makes it tricky, and getting the balance of the car right with using brake at an intermediate style track is just different because it changes the pitch of the car so much. So yeah, I would say the fast guy is probably going to use the least amount of brake of everybody. But if your car's not turning how you want it to, or dialed in where you need it to be, you're going to be on the brakes pretty good.
We're talking to Alex Bowman here on Chasing Checkers. I feel like this string of tracks, you know, after Nashville, obviously we don't know much about Mexico and what that's going to be, but some of these tracks I feel like are good for you. So as we enter the summer, are you kind of looking forward to some of these tracks and maybe giving you guys a good shot?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, for me, I honestly don't ever look very far ahead in the schedule, but I think, you know, there's a lot of good places. The couple that I know of at least are really good for us. And I think Mexico can be really good for us too. I feel like the new places we tend to run pretty well at. Our road course program has been really good. So I'm excited about getting down there, experiencing that. Michigan's a really good one for us. I know Chicago's mixed in there somewhere coming up. So looking forward to that one too. But yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of good tracks for us through the summer. Really, I mean, anywhere we go right now, I feel like we're good enough to go perform. Maybe not Loudoun, New Hampshire. That's the one place that I've like still got circled that I hate. But other than that, you know, we've gained on really all the places that I feel like we've struggled at historically. So looking forward to having a shot at it each and every week.
Do you like how the schedule has been the last few years where, you know, they've added some new places? You know, there was a couple places you only went to a couple times. Chicago, you know, who knows what's going to happen beyond this year with the street course. I feel like the schedule's more diverse than it ever has been. And I know that adds a challenge, but it's also a lot of fun to watch at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's a really good thing. I think our schedule was the same for so long that it, I guess you could say, got a little bit stale. So I think just continuing to change it up, go to new places, kind of rearrange it a little bit, I think is a really good thing. Yeah, hopefully we continue to add more new places going forward. I think that's important for our sport to go to new places and not, you know, go to the same 15 tracks twice a year forever, right? Like we want to go to different places and kind of change it up. There's so many great racetracks in the country and, you know, around the world. So there's definitely a lot of cool places that we can go race.
Do you think North Wilkesboro is ready for a points race?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, from where I sit, I think so. You know, I'm sure there's logistical things that make it a little bit tougher than a normal race for us. But, you know, I think it's fine to have a points race there. Honestly, the All-Star race is the biggest event for us as far as, you know, the time perspective goes. Like, aside from the Daytona 500, I don't think I've ever been at a racetrack for so long this year as I was at North Wilkesboro, right? Like, it's a 3-day show. There's so many things going on, like you may as well have a points race there. It's there's nothing more to it aside from more cars on the racetrack at that point. So yeah, it's a cool place. It's so much history there. Such a cool vibe. Obviously the fans love it. It's packed whenever we go there. It's a neat place for sure.
Well, Alex, you know what? I'm going to speak it into existence. Your luck is turning around at Nashville Super Speedway this weekend. I think you're going to have a good weekend.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. I'm going to hold you to that. Hopefully it works out.
Well, it will for sure. I hope so. Thanks so much for doing this. It's always good to talk to you, and we'll see you this weekend.
Sounds good. See you there.
And we do always appreciate Alex Bowman for joining us here on the program. Coming up next, my good friend Katie Myers, who is the director of marketing for the Nashville Super Speedway, is going to join us. She'll tell you how you can get tickets if you haven't done it yet, and also some of the cool things to expect this weekend. That's how we'll wrap the show up. That is all next. Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Chasing Checkers is on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
We're moving fast and furious on this edition of Chasing Checkers. Have had a loaded show. Again, this weekend, the Cracker Barrel 400 weekend. It is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And to talk a little bit more about that, because we want you to be there. Tickets, of course, still available. But Katie Myers is on the line with us. She's the director of marketing for the Nashville Super Speedway. Katie, my understanding is you probably want to jump on these things now.
Yeah, Chase, that's right. I mean, if you have been following the Nashville Super Speedway since we opened our doors in 2021, we have sold out almost every single year, and tickets are going fast. And so if you want to get your tickets, if you want to be here for the Cracker Barrel 400 on Sunday, you need to get your tickets now at NashvilleSuperspeedway.com. You can call in our box office, 866-RACE-TICKS. And talk to one of our account reps. We do not have a lot of inventory left, and I am not just saying that to say that. We really don't have a lot of inventory left. We want everybody to come. We run into this issue every year, but yeah, inventory is very, very low right now. It's a great problem to have.
Say I want to bring my whole family, just come for the whole weekend. You still got some ticket packages where you can do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, correct?
Yes, absolutely. That's our best value right now, is to buy Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And for anybody that actually has a Sunday ticket, if you do want to add on Friday and Saturday, you can do a bundle for only $75. That's literally our cheapest option right now to do the whole weekend. And you can also, you can call our box office. They'll work you, they'll figure out the best way to get you guys all here. But yeah, we got those weekend passes available. We have camping spots available if you just want to come out and tent camp. We got it all.
Katie Myers is with us, the director of marketing at the Nashville Super Speedway. And I know you all still have some announcements to make about who all is going to be there. It is Nashville, after all, so you never know who's going to show up at the track.
Yeah, it is Nashville. If you can count on one thing, it is that there are going to be celebrities here. We have not announced any big names yet, but that will be coming down the pipeline. We like to hold on to those names until the last minute and make it really fun and exciting. But if you've been here to the track in the past, you know we've seen Morgan Wallen, we've had Hardy, we've had, I mean, you name it from the country music space, Luke Combs, they've all been here. So expect some pretty big names.
What are some other things, Katie? Like the Fan Zone is fantastic if people want to go check that out whenever they're here over the weekend. But what are some other areas that maybe somebody already has their ticket that they might want to add on and come check out at the Nashville Super Speedway?
Yeah, honestly, the best thing to add on is if you're here on Friday or Saturday, or add on a Turn 4 infield experience pass. We have a viewing area inside the infield in Turn 4, and this year is seriously the coolest year that we've ever done that space up. We have several bars out there. There's lots of yard games. Of course, we're sponsored by Cracker Barrel, so we've got a massive Cracker Barrel rocking chair, lots of photo ops, a lot of fun things, and it's pretty affordable to add that on. And then if you're here on Sunday and you want to add on the pre-race track pass, that gets you stage front to our driver intros, to our pre-race concert, and then that also gets you into that Turn 4 infield experience all day Sunday as well. And you can watch the race from that Turn 4 area. It's a really, really cool spot. So I would definitely look into adding those on, but definitely stop by the Fan Zone as well. The Fan Zone opens hours before the race ever happens. We have a ton of driver appearances on the Fan Zone stage. We have Trackside Live on Sunday. We have Tim Duggar performing on the Fan Zone stage ahead of our pre-race concert in the infield. And then Cracker Barrel is also going to be set up inside the Fan Zone, and they have their tiny house. And if anybody has been a Cracker Barrel fan for a while, you know that the tiny house is kind of iconic. They're going to be doing some boot sampling, is what I have heard, on Sunday. And so it is definitely worth stopping by.
Well, you got me there. That could be a lot of fun. Tell us, too, a little bit more about the pre-race concert, because I know this is something that's kind of been near and dear to your heart.
Yes. So this is the first year that we have ever done a pre-race concert like this. So we launched our Nationals Next Rising Star competition at the beginning of this year, and we opened it up to any unsigned artist, an up-and-coming artist that just wanted a shot. And if you've been to any of the other Speedway Motorsports properties, you know that there have been some artists that have come through that have made it big, Zach Topp being one of them. He went to Atlanta Motor Speedway and played before he was the name that everybody knows now. And so we opened it up. We got some incredible, incredible entries. We narrowed it down. We got it down to a top five. We did a live audition. Our friend Joe Dubin was our MC of that down on Whiskey Row. And then we named a winner on site. Her name is SJ McDonald. And let me just tell you, I honestly cannot believe that she's unsigned. She has so much energy. She's an incredible performer. Her voice is amazing. And she's going to take the pre-race stage at 4:30. And so we're really, really excited.
It's going to be a lot of fun for sure. Katie, thanks so much for doing this. We're excited about this weekend. Again, you can go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com to get your tickets. You can also see the race schedule, the weekend schedule, the driver appearance schedule is there, or call 866-RACE-TIX. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Can't wait to see you there.
That is my good friend Katie Myers, the director of marketing at the Nashville Super Speedway. It is going to be a fun weekend. You can hear those races on our airwaves, either on 102.5 The Game. It's depending on what Vanderbilt does with their regional this weekend, but on 93.3, Totally Hits, Totally Nashville, Sports Talk 830, 94.9 The Fan. All you got to do is just go to thegamenashville.com or keep up on our social media at 102.5 The Game or at Chase on Game, and I'll let you know where everything is. But we're going to have all three races. We're going to have qualifying, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And also, there's going to be some special editions of Chasing Checkers. I'm going to be around the track getting other interviews as well. And the Chasing Big Joe show will be there on Friday. That is going to do it for this week's edition of Chasing Checkers. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for the Nashville Super Speedway as well here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Check out all of our podcasts at thegamenashville.com or find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and all other major podcast platforms.